My guest at this time is Victoria Tunsing. She's a former Deputy Attorney General and also served as Chief Counsel to the Senate Intelligence Committee in her career. She's now a partner in the law firm with her husband. The firm is DeGeneva Tunsing, based in Washington. She's also the counsel representing who was really the chief witness at Wednesday's Benghazi hearing before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, former Deputy Chief of Mission Greg Hicks. And Victoria, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be here.
Well, there was a lot of drama that ultimately led to your client being able to testify on Wednesday. It was just a few days ago that you had made it known that you were having a great deal of difficulty getting the clearance to even have conversations with him, much less getting to the point where he could testify.
Let me clarify that. I could talk to him, but I could only talk to him about unclassified information.
Right.
What the State Department was denying me, and still is a top secret clearance so that I can get all the information that I need from my client. So we could have that unclassified briefing without my getting clearances, but he has more to tell me, and every so often he'll say, well, this is important, but it's classified, so I can't let you know. And what the State Department did in playing cutesy, first of all, by not even trying to give us what the process was to get clearances, and not until I went on TV and banged on them, then they gave us the process May 1st for the first time, when Daryl Issa's first letter was April 16th. They gave us the process, but they only gave my husband and me, my husband has the second witness, temporary secret clearances, which they know is not sufficient for me to talk to my client about classified information.
So how much more is there to tell? Obviously, he can't tell you and probably couldn't say it in open session yesterday if it's classified material.
Right.
But how much more is there that he wasn't able to get into yesterday?
Well, he couldn't have gotten into it in an unclassified session, a public session anyway. I'm not asking for clearances for him to go, you know, on ABC and have an interview with Diane Sawyer. I'm asking it for oversight because the Congress is entitled to the information, and he has the right to give information to Congress. And by not giving me the top clearances I need to talk to him, they are impeding his right, which is a criminal violation, by the way.
You've practiced law a long time, Victoria. How unusual was this process they made you go through?
Well, it's not unusual to get clearances. I get them from the CIA all the time for a case. It's just that none of us knew how to do it at the State Department. And here's an interesting thing. They write a letter, finally, May 1st, saying, this is a routine. We do this routinely for people. So I didn't talk to the person because I was on my way back from Fox still complaining that they hadn't notified us where to go. Guess where that you go to get your clearances? The Legal Office of Employment. I mean, it's just bizarre. Anyone who knows Washington just scratches his or her head saying, employment office? You go to get your clearances? So when Joe talked to the person, because I was still coming back from Fox, she said, well, this is unusual. We usually don't give clearances or have a process for people representing people in Congress. So they don't have a procedure. They made it up. Now they're holding up our clearances.
Let's talk about the process of Mr. Hicks coming to you. You mentioned in several different interviews that he had been threatened, not life or prosecution, but that his career could certainly be on the line. What are you willing to divulge about what specifically they said about his career?
Yes, we did in the hearing. Let me tell you, I did a genre thing, so I wasn't identifying my witness prior to his being identified by the committee. But here's what they did with him, because now he has testified and laid it out. He was not a team player. He protested about Susan Rice's talking points being false, said, why did she say that? And he had a reason for being upset about it. Not only were they false, and so our government was speaking with forked tongue, but it was causing problems with the Libyan government, because the president of Libya had been on one of the same shows with Ambassador Rice, and he had been humiliated. In that he said it was a terrorism attack, and she says, oh, no, it's a video. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, the lack of decorum. So he was upset about that. And then also Representative Chaffetz came to Tripoli after 9/11 to find out what was going on the ground. My client was told not to to be alone with the representative, and there was a lawyer sent from Hillary's office who was a minder, a babysitter, so to speak, who would see to it that he was never alone with each other, and that's always the case. When congressional people go to embassies, the ambassador always meets one-on-one. He was told he couldn't do it. He gave Chaffetz, Representative Chaffetz, a security tour and showed him what was wrong for security reasons. The lawyer Minder was kicked out of a meeting, a classified meeting, because he didn't have the right clearances. So my client then got a nasty phone call from Cheryl Mills, who was the chief staff person for Hillary Clinton, and she just chewed him out. And then he's told by another superior after that nobody likes him in Libya and nobody wants him to come back. And with that in mind, plus the fact that he couldn't bring his family over there now because conditions had changed, he decided to take he would not go back there, but he was assured by the then ambassador there that he would not be punished. And he has been in an office in Siberia ever since November. He does not have meaningful work. He cannot get an assignment abroad, and if he doesn't by September 30th, he's supposed to, they want to shove him out.
Victoria, did anyone ever give him a reason why, unlike the rest of his career where he was fully free to speak with investigators, that this time he was not supposed to, or they simply said, don't do it?
Don't do what?
To speak with Jason Chaffetz when he came to Libya.
Oh, no, he's never had that happen before.
That's what I'm saying. So did they give an explanation as to why?
Entire career. No, they just tell him, look, the State Department functions in weird ways. And that's what most of the time, they just, the people, they just kind of take orders. Whereas the Justice Department, sometimes U.S. attorneys are told things and they say, are you kidding? And they fight and there's a back and forth. But State Department people are very, probably better mannered than those of us who have been prosecutors. So it wasn't a threat in that sense. It was he, because he wasn't a team player and because he did all these things about letting Congress know about the security problems, was made an example of to the rest of the people. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to go back and sit in a desk in Siberia if you cross us, so don't cross us. And that's the threat. And that's the threat for government integrity. Because it's keeping all these people back.
What have you learned? What has he told you about how many others may have faced these similar threats?
He doesn't know. They tend not to talk to each other. They get, they sort of get in their own little world. The committee knows. And so the committee, I believe one member of the committee came out this morning and said there are at least two other whistleblowers. But yesterday's hearing was State Department. You got to have themes to hearings because they're chaotic enough as it is, with each member having 5 minutes, and they each get in on their own little subject. So you got to keep the panelists all from the same kind of direction. So they may have a military one. Susan Rice ought to come up there. They ought to start issuing subpoenas is what they ought to do if these people won't come up there. How about Pickering? The ARB, which was this Accountability Review Board that they've touted in the White House and the State Department, is the ARB looked into this and everything is hunky-dory. So my witness testified yesterday, and I've known this, of course, for weeks, that when the ARB came to interview him, they didn't have a stenographer. They had people sitting in there taking notes, which is not, I'm a pretty good note taker, but you miss things. Plus, they never allowed my client, Greg Hicks, to review what the note takers wrote down. They never allowed him to review the unclassified report before it became published. That's just a sloppy way to do an investigation.
Victoria, you mentioned a moment ago that you can only answer the questions that were asked at the hearing. Did Mr. Hicks feel like most of the questions that were asked, particularly on the Republican side, were relevant and that a lot of the narrative got out on Wednesday that hadn't been out there previously?
I didn't ask him that. At the end of the day, it was really an emotional experience. If anyone watched it, he broke down a couple of times, and so did Eric Nordstrom break down. But I had wished that there had been a photographer from my viewpoint, because as I looked up at the hearing, all the Democrats were gone except whoever was on the podium next to ask questions. It was empty on the left-hand side, and all the Republican members were there.
What did you make of the questions the Democrats did ask?
They had a theme. They would always open up by saying, well, we really respect you guys, but you guys are being used, which I thought was insulting. you guys are being used politically. These guys are all smart enough not to be used. So that was their theme. And then they didn't have much else, the Democrats. That was it.
Chairman Issa says the investigation will continue today. Speaker Boehner says it will continue. He also asked for some of the emails that need to be forthcoming still. So where do you see this going, and how soon?
President Obama said that we'll cooperate in every way, right? And yet here are unclassified documents that the State Department is refusing to turn over. And the one that Speaker Boehner was talking about today was a document that said Ambassador Rice, 4 days prior to her getting on TV and blaming what happened there on a video made in America, prior to her doing that, she had been stating that it was a terrorism act.
Mr. Hickson, expect to be back on Capitol Hill for another round of hearings at some point?
He probably hopes he's not. That's very draining. It's very draining. And you know, when you do that, it's very courageous, because what happens to you, I mean, just they attacked me. They do this all subtly. They called me a liar and making false statements. They attacked him. The State Department on Tuesday would not even say that those three witnesses had credibility. Now, where is the integrity in the State Department? Does John Kerry not care that his spokespeople are out there just lying? And I asked, when the State Department person accused me of making a false statement, I've asked him, give me the document that just says I made a statement that you're accusing me of writing, of making. Do you think I've gotten it?
Probably not. Well, Victoria, as we've heard from members on both sides of the aisle, especially the Republicans, this will continue. And obviously the information provided by your client was seminal to yesterday's hearings. Thank you very much for helping us understand the whole process a lot better.
Good talking to you.
Victoria Tunsing, former Deputy Attorney General, former Chief Counsel to the Senate Intelligence Committee, partner in the law firm of DeGeneva Tunsing, and the lawyer for Greg Hicks, the former Deputy Chief of Mission in Libya, who testified before Congress on Wednesday. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.